And I hope you got your Bible tonight. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I'll move quick as I can. Hebrews 10, 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Amen. Thank you, Mike. I want to talk to you tonight about things that the church does together. When I say the church, I mean real believers in Christ. Those who've had a born-again experience, trusted Him as their Savior. You know, we do a lot of things together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 is just one of those things that God encourages us to do. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more so as you see the day approaching. The day of the Lord, the return of Christ, he's talking about. Instead of getting together less, he encourages us to get together more. Today's church members seem to think just very little of doing things together. I remember in the older days, you know, church members did, I mean, the whole church did stuff together. And they'd have special days, you know, and special prayer meetings and times of prayer and special gatherings, you know. And boy, if somebody died, they'd all be over at your house. And if somebody was sick, they'd be over at your house. My youngest daughter ran away one time and scared us to death. And she was gone a couple of days. And most of Independent Bible Baptist Church was sitting in my living room until they found her. Sitting in my living room. The preacher was there. His wife was there. Deacons were there. Just a house full of people and praying and crying and just people would get together back then. It used to be they would have a wake when people would die. They'd take the body over to the house. When my sister Nancy died when I was a little boy, they brought the casket into the house and it stayed there. And the night before the funeral, we had a wake. People would come over, hundreds and hundreds of people come through with food and prayers and well wish and all this stuff. And it just seemed like people don't do stuff like that anymore. They don't do that anymore. And boy, if you had a church meeting, they were going to be there. They were going to be there. Amen. Like the old fellow said, you know, when he first got saved, he said, preacher, if y'all have a meeting, let me know. I want to be here. He said, if y'all have a deacon's meeting, I want to come. If you have a Sunday school teacher's meeting, I want to come. If you got a prayer meeting, I want to come. So if you have a meeting to spit off the front porch, I want to be there to spit off the front porch. Amen. That was a joke. Some of you will catch on. not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, but Sunday school, prayer meetings. Now people hesitate to gather for fellowships. They hesitate to get together for revivals. They don't bring their kids to church activities. We'll have a church activity, but they'll take them to the skating rink. They don't bring their kids to Sunday school, but they'll take them down to the football game. But they don't hardly ever miss a school activity. Boy, they'll go to those school activities and school sports. And don't you remember when they had school football games? Never had one on a Wednesday night. They didn't have sports on Wednesday night at schools. Now the schools are full of that just to keep people out of church. Some of these people never miss a beach trip. They never miss a vacation. But they just don't seem to want to get together with other believers. So a lot of people miss a lot of good blessings.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Boy, we've had prayer meeting in here on Wednesday night sometimes when there wasn't hardly anybody in here. And the Lord just show up and bless us. Amen. And by the way, I've been in revival, and let me tell you something. You'll thank God. You'll thank God for what you got here. Visit around a little bit. Boy, there's a lot of mausoleums. There's a lot of empty places that call. It's awful. And Wednesday night, we don't expect full house, but, you know, you'll thank God that we got what we got here. You just don't know. I tell church members, go visit. See what you're missing. Go find some. If you find something better than this, let us know. We'll all come. Amen. They miss out on blessings by missing our times of getting together. We get together. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, March 5th, 1978, I lost every friend I had but one. And there wasn't no more getting together with those people. Number one, they didn't want to get together with me. They didn't like, they were scared of me. They didn't know what done happened to me. Number two, I didn't want to get together with them anymore because their lights were not no longer my lights and my lights were not their lights. And so we didn't get together and I lost a lot of friends. But you know, there's some togethers in the Bible, some togethers. And I want to show you just a few things in the Bible that talk about gathering together. Turn to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 44. People don't think much of church anymore. Matter of fact, if you rode past churches tonight, you'll see most of them's closed on Wednesday night now. One right down the road here, closed on Wednesday night. People say, well, we ain't got time to go to church on Wednesday night. Well, they're sitting at home watching television. It's just who do they want to congregate with? That's the problem, see. Acts chapter 2, verse 44, the early church, the first church in the book of Acts. It says, and all that believe were together. And had all things common. Now that's the first church. That's the first church. Now, those people, they had revival going on every day. It went on and on and on and on. And it said they broke bread from house to house to house. And they'd go over to this house, have a prayer meeting, have revival. They'd go over to the next house, have a prayer meeting, revival. And it just went on and on and on. Matter of fact, when God called the deacon Philip out into the wilderness to win the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord, he left a revival in the first church to do that, see. So there's a lot of things that we need to unite for. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll give you this second to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, as a result of being together, we are united together. Now, how are you going to love people you never see? How are you going to get a burden for people that you don't know what they're going through because you never see them? It shocks you how many times people come to this church and I haven't seen them in months. And try to call, they won't return my call, and send them cards. And they'll say, well, I've been out for 2 months, ain't nobody come to see me. You know what I started saying? I started saying, well, who have you went to see? Who'd you go see in that 2 months? You didn't invite them to church. Amen. You have to come here. And then other people go to the hospital and get out and they'll say, well, you didn't even come see me at the hospital. I said, well, I ain't seen you in church in a month. How would I know you was in the hospital if you didn't call me or tell me? Amen. I said, if you'd been in church, I'd have known it. See? But, God unites us by these things. Look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body, talking about the church, is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole are hearing, where are the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. In other words, we've all got a place. We've all got a place. And if they were all one member, where were the body? In other words, it takes more than one kind of person to make up a body, just like it takes more than one part to make up your body. Amen? Amen. You ain't all eyeball. You ain't all foot. Amen? Some people sound like they're all mouth, but they're not. Verse 20, but now are they many members, but one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. In other words, that little toe. You think that little toe ain't no good. Let me get up and do like I do in the middle of the night and run that little toe into something. It'll test your religion, buddy. Amen. I passed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Ladies, that's why you wear earrings. And our uncomely parts more have abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now that's why God wants us to gather together. That's why God wants us to be united together. Now I've been in churches where it was not united. And this crowd over here hates that crowd over there. And that crowd talks bad about this crowd over here. And this crowd over here thinks they're better than that crowd back there. And listen, it's total chaos. And there's no Holy Spirit. And there's no blessings of God. It's just mechanical religion, because God ain't going to be in that body. He didn't gather you together to be like that. He gathered us together that we might love one another. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Am I going too slow? Are you mad yet? Well, that one must stay out tonight. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, being united together, we build a body, and the only way that we can become part of that body is to submit to one another. And if you go and read that, it talks about the husband and the wife submitting to the husband, and all these things, you know, and how the wife and the husband has different parts in a marriage. But it doesn't mean submission for separation. It means submission for unity. Amen. Now, we all submit for togetherness. You do it out here. You submit to this country so we can all stay together and not fly apart. Amen. You submit down at the schoolhouse so they'll let you come to school. You submit down at the workplace so you can all be one body down there so you can work together. Why can people of God not submit one to another? Amen. And Jesus said the greatest of these is the servant. It's funny how everybody wants to run around and get a title. I'm a reverend. I'm a minister. I'm a doctor. I'm a bishop. I'm this, I'm that. Well, all of us just ought to be a bunch of nobodies telling everybody about somebody named Jesus. Amen. And by the way, that's why he put us together. He didn't put me and you together because we got the same hobbies.
That's right.
I don't even have a hobby anymore. This is my hobby. He didn't put us together because we like the same kind of cars. Man, there's so much I could say there. Listen, no sir, he put us together into one body so that we could work together. Now, Philippians 1:27. As he builds this body, here's the way he builds it. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, striving together, that means we're working together. We're struggling together. We're not doing this to be in the front. We're not doing it to be the big dog or the head or anything like that. We're striving together to get other people saved, that God might get more glory, because that's why God saves people. He don't save us because we'd be a great addition to his body. He saves us because he gets glory from it.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. Now, striving together, we'll walk in fellowship together. We'll walk with the Lord when we strive together. I'm talking about things we do together, okay? Now, most churches now are nothing but a free-for-all. The singing is karaoke. Whoever wants to sing, sings. Whatever they want to sing, they can sing. However they want. Most preaching, I don't even know what it is. But listen, he put us together to work together, to walk together in fellowship together, and to walk with the Lord, and he makes all those things work together for us as we do that. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The greatest thing I've ever been part of was a local church. Now, I've been to big churches. I've been to little churches. This ain't small. I went to revival this week, had a smaller crowd than this. This ain't the smallest church I've been in or pastored. Been to big churches and little churches, in-between churches. I've been to all kinds of places. But you know what makes them work? They work together. And you can't work together unless you come together. And you're not going to come together unless you're serving together, serving Christ together. That gives you a purpose to come to church.
Yes, sir.
Most people just come and soak and sit. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Did my wife hurt that baby? You have to watch her sometimes. What she really does is spoil them to death. Man, my grandkids were at the house this afternoon. They were wide open. I wanted to whip so bad. She just kept feeding the fire. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. In other words, let him look at what he thinks is foolish and nothing. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Talking about the wisdom of this world. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
Amen.
Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's.
Amen.
So you see what he says? He says that we strive together, we walk together, we fellowship together, and then God makes all these things serve us. I'm not talking about get rich quick or pray a prayer and get you a new $50 million jet airplane. But he says this. He says, whether you heard it from Paul or Apollos or Cephas or even the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. All that stuff works together for the good of those that love God and called according to his purpose. So therefore, we get together and to get what God wants to give us.
Yes.
I know preachers. Well, I stretch that word, but I know preachers that want to move out to Utah or Arizona or somewhere on a mountaintop. And they've got some love affair with that. And it's a beautiful place. Well, they say it is. To me, it looks like just like those pictures of Mars that I see on NASA thing. But it's a beautiful place. And they say, I just want to get out there away from everybody. That's what they say, preachers. And I think you selfish, self-centered, sinful, egotistical. You know what he's saying? I'm better than all these other people, and they get on my nerves, and I don't want to be around them. And one of them told me, said, the ministry would be pretty good if it wasn't for people. I said, you dummy, if it wasn't for people, you wouldn't have a ministry. You're going to run out there and live on a mountaintop like some old mountain goat and think God's going to do something for you. He ain't going to do nothing for you. You ain't getting him no glory living out there on a mountaintop. So we walk together, we work together, we strive to overcome together. And then we look, one day we're going to come to the end of all the work and all the striving and all the walking. And 1 Thessalonians, all of you know it, chapter 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 15. All of you know it already, don't you? I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. He said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. When we strive together, we walk together, we serve together, we meet together, then we can get together and serve others and not be striving to do something for God, because God will equip us in His body to do what He wants us to do. That's right. Now, listen to this. We started with two or three together. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, He said, I'll be there and I'll be in the midst and I'll bless. Is that not what He said?
Yes.
Now, He gives us two or three gathering here on earth. And He says, whatever we bind here on earth will be bound up in heaven, right? And whatever we loose here on earth will be loosed up in heaven. In other words, that's answered prayers. If just two or three. So how much better would it be if the whole body would get together and pray and work and walk and pray together? We'd get a lot more done. Now you can get two or three together. You can do something for God. But one day, all this stuff at the end of our walk, at the end of our work, Revelation 21. After we quit striving, we start serving, we start walking together, we start stop arguing and having divisions, and we work together and walk together. Now, Revelation 21. One day we'll be gathered together. One day we'll be gathered together. And we won't be in charge of this gathering. There'll be no saying no or yes. He's going to do the gathering.
Amen.
Revelation 21. Look at verse 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. One day there's going to be that last great gathering. Amen? Now, I wonder how people feel, people that don't like to gather with other Christians now, I wonder how they feel about that. I mean, if you don't want to go to church now, what makes you think you're going to be comfortable in heaven? If you don't like worshiping with us now, you ain't seen nothing till the New Jerusalem comes down. You ain't seen worship yet. Amen? If you think we're crazy now, just come watch that a little while. Amen?
It's going
to come on. Amen. Amen. This Methodist died, went to heaven. I know that's unusual, but it happens. This Methodist died, went to heaven. When he got up there, St. Peter said, I want to show you around. He said, okay. So he walked him over here, you know, this bunch of people, and they was praising God, kind of quietly, you know. He said, this is the Presbyterian. Then he took him over to another crowd, you know, and they were having an order of service. You know, it was real orderly. And he said, this is the Methodist. He said, I know, I lived through that. And then he took him over to these others, you know, this is the Lutherans, and this is this one, this is this one. Then he said, now I want you to be real quiet, I'm going to show you something. And they crawled up this big old hill, and they peeked over the other side, and be real quiet. And when they peeked over the hill, these people was running and jumping and cutting cartwheels and hollering and crying and just praising God and glory, hallelujah and amen, hallelujah. And he says, what is this? He said, be real quiet. This is the Baptists. They think they're the only ones up here. Yeah, I'd put us off over a hill somewhere, amen? Because you think we're crazy now. Wait till we get together up there, amen? Amen. Together is not a bad thing. Together, what gatherings are good things. Forsake not the assembling of thyselves together. You're going to miss a blessing. I know I'm preaching to the choir. The ones that ain't here need to hear it. But man, I just got to think about that word gathering together. And here we are. Amen. I won't look, I would never tell you when the rapture was going to happen and Jesus was coming, but I want it to be on a Wednesday night. Because there's going to be a bunch of worldly Baptists shocked when the Lord shows up on Wednesday night and they get caught doing whatever they're doing other than going to church. Amen. Maybe a Sunday night. I don't know. But I tell you what, I want to take off from church on a Wednesday night. Da-da-da-da! Amen. And it says the dead in Christ arise first, so it means those other Baptists are at home. They'll go before we will. Amen. Amen. Then when they get there, they'll think they're the only ones there, and then we show up right behind them. And they'll say, where you been? And I say, church. Amen. Look, I love church. I since the day I got saved, I've never wanted anything else. I don't know where you come from, but boy, he reached way down to get me. And I'm going to tell you something. Growing up, those people didn't want us in their church. They never even asked us to come to their church. Called us white trash and everything else. Let me tell you something. I thank God that he separated me through the gospel of Jesus Christ and put me in his body, and now I get together to gather together with the saints every time the doors open. Amen. Yes. And look, most of those people's dead and gone. I hope they're in heaven, but I have many doubts. But I hope they're looking down here today and say, well, we wish we'd invited him to our church. Because they sure do have a whole lot of fun down there at that church. Amen. 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 For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Yes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now there was a time I didn't want to go to church. Even if they invited me, I didn't want to go. But thank God. If y'all going to gather for a prayer meeting, call me. If you're going to gather to eat, call me, especially if Jeffrey's cooking. Call me. Hey, if you're just going to gather to sit around the campfire and testify, call me. I want to be there. Amen. If you're going to sing and shout and have a choir and specials and somebody's going to preach, I don't have to preach. Call me. I want to be there. Amen. I want to gather together. But one day, I'm looking forward to the great gathering together in heaven. And it's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. You know why that song says when we've been there 10,000 years? It doesn't say millions and millions. And I know people to change that to me. No, don't do that. The Jewish numbers only went to 10,000. Go read the book of Revelation. It'll say 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. The highest number they had. So what that writer was saying, as high as you can get in numbers, that's how long I'm going to be there. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant word.